What a joy. What a joy. Coming to you today is my delight. We're going to have a great broadcast. I'm here to tell you we're going to have a great broadcast. And I always love these times together. I hope you love them as good as I. Let me get rid of those phone numbers. I hope you have them. Now, friends, today we're going to talk about a subject that to me is quite overwhelming. It really is quite overwhelming. A one-world religion. A one-world religion. And I'm a little loud for me, but I hope I'm okay for you. I can turn it down a little bit. But listen, it's a joy to bring you the truths of the Bible. The Bible is a living book. Do you understand that? The Bible is a living book. It is just as real right now as it was when Holy Ghost-filled men wrote the Word of God. Now, today, we're going to go into the book of Revelation. Into the book of Revelation, and we're going to look and see the leader of a one-world religion. Now, I won't really get to the one-world religion picture, but the leader of the one-world religion is in the book of Revelation 13, beginning with verse 11. If you'll get your Bible, I would love it if you'd get your Bible and read it with me. I think that would make it more enjoyable for you. I really do. I want you to get everything that God is saying in this word, because when you get what the Bible is saying, it's going to change your life. It is going to affect your life. Now, listen to me clearly. One world religion, a religion. Now, listen, this is a title. A religion that Satan loves. Did you know the devil loves this one world religion that we see developing everywhere? I read a big article the other day of the Methodist churches that they're going into this mindset of welcoming Muslims and blending their religious ideas with the Muslim ideas because this is love, they say. This is how God would teach us to love our neighbors. Now, to me, it's amazing when you use those kind of things as an excuse to compromise the Bible. Do you see this Bible in my hand? This is Open Bible Telecast. That's television, internet, Facebook, and Open Bible Dialogue. That's radio. And we're doing both at the same time. And welcome to my radio friends. I believe now we have our friends back on down at WSTS in the Lumberton area, Fairmont, I believe it's called, area. And if we are, I want to hear from you one after the other this week. If we're back on your station. There's been some technical difficulty, and we supposedly are back there again. I'm excited. Oh, I'm always excited when I've got my Charlotte audience. People listening at WHVN here in Charlotte, and then the station in Belmont, and the station in Concord. Welcome to all of you. Hey, how about calling a friend and get them to listen? And now joining us is not only the internet worldwide, but now Facebook worldwide, so that our audience is huge. I mean, really huge. And I'm getting old, and my audience is getting bigger, and I love you better, and I want to be here with you. I say to my wife sometimes, honey, how much longer when you pass 80, you know, and you kind of stumble around a little bit, and your hearing is not as good as it used to be, and your eyesight begins to get a little dimmer. Oh, well, we're here as long as Jesus helps us. I promise you, we don't have any desire to go anywhere but to be right here with you. She's always in that other room answering the telephone, so you can always call her and tell her you love her and give her a little hug around the neck by telephone. But listen, let's go to the Bible. I'm going to give you something. I hope you'll call friends and share this with everybody out there to tune in, okay? Those of you listening by Facebook, all you got to do is mash that button called share and send it to everybody on your list. And that would be thousands if everybody listening would send it to everybody in their face, in their friends list. That would be thousands. Already we got 5,000 that are on my friends list, almost five. And it's thrilling to get this message to so many people. And we're in a desperate hour. You got to hear me. We're in a desperate hour. I can't believe which direction the church is going. I can't believe. I got a list here of the dark horses, I call them, of the one world order. The dark horses of the one world order. These are ministers of the One World Order who are promoting it, and have been, most of them, for years. I remember 30-some years ago speaking at a prophecy conference for the Church of God. I was over on Wilkerson Boulevard, if you remember where our headquarters, state headquarters, used to be. And I was at the conference as a speaker, and they asked me about Pat Robertson. And I said, Pat Robertson is a new ager. He's a One World Order man. He's not into this Bible. He's not teaching the things we teach. And they thought I was crazy. They really did. But I knew what I was talking about. I don't just run my mouth off the cuff. I study. I prepare. Well, I got a list of these dark horses, and I want you to have a pencil and paper ready, because I want you to write them down and share with your friends. Every one of them is teaching doctrines that are far afield from this Holy Bible. I don't know one of them that teach the pre-trib rapture like you and I believe. Not a one of them. Pat Robertson, Benny Hinn, write down the list. It's amazing to think of how many people out there has left the truth so utterly. And churches, how many of you have a church that the altar is on fire, where people can go there and weep and pray, and sinners can weep their way to Calvary, and backsliders can come back to God and weep and pray their way back to the cross, and God's people can draw close up to Christ and have a moving of the Holy Spirit in their life? That's what a church altar is all about. And did you know the church altar is an extension of the heavenly altar? You say, we don't need an altar in our church. Oh, yes, you do. If there's a real heavenly altar, then the church must have a real earthly altar. And our earthly altar is an extension of that altar in heaven. I love to go to the altar to pray. That's my favorite place to get before God. Well, let me read to you the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And here is a picture of the one world leader, the false prophet, we call him. The false prophet. That's the third member of the false satanic trinity. The third member of the false satanic trinity. And let me read. And I heard, and I beheld, and another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Listen to that. This is the leader of the new world religion. This is the leader of the new world religion. I'm going to read it again. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. Notice two horns like a lamb. A lamb don't have horns. So here is a confused picture. Two horns on a lamb. So it's a false humility with the powers of hell. A false humility with the powers of hell. That's the leader of the one world religion. And every preacher who's part of that one world religion will fit the same kind of mode. If you'll watch them, let me read on. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now the first beast is the Antichrist. He's a false second member of the devil's trinity. A false Christ. A facade Christ, an imitation Christ. Can you hear that? That's the new Jesus of the one world religion. It's an imitation Christ. I was reading what Andy Stanley had to say about Jesus and the blood of the day. And I couldn't believe this man was saying such. The son of Charles Stanley was saying, you know, Charles was a Pentecostal in his early years in Danville, Virginia. His granddad was a leader and an organizer of Pentecostal holiness churches. And so Charles Stanley has a background in Pentecost. That's why he's such a good speaker. It's because he patterns after us old Pentecostals. Really is. Now, his doctrine on eternal security didn't come from heaven, and it didn't come from the Bible either. I'll go no further with that one. But you got to understand that there's many preachers out there preaching the craziest kind of stuff. I hope you'll get on the phones with me in a little bit and ask me questions where I can answer. Some I can't answer. I'm not here to put down anybody. I'm only here to deal with false doctrine. I'm not here to put down Andy Stanley. I really am not. I'm just here to tell you that his doctrine is just really crazy. crazy. Everything I can read, it boggles your mind to see these things going on in the name, the supposed name of Jesus Christ. And he exercised all the power of that first beast, the Antichrist, and casteth and causeth the earth and them which worship therein to worship the false Christ, the false beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders. How you say if they can do miracles, they must be God. Well, you better understand the devil can do false wonders, false miracles. Not the kind of miracles Jesus can do, but he can give you a facade. He can give you a deceiving picture. I promise you that. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh the fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Maketh fire come down. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Well, if you read on, that this is the 13th chapter of Revelation. You go get it and read all of it, and you'll see the Antichrist mark, the 666, comes out of this. And he literally can perform miracles. He's mighty in his deeds. He's deceiving to the ultimate. And he's actually a false Holy Spirit. A false Holy Spirit. Now, the church world has almost forgot the wondrous power of the Holy Ghost. Most people run the church like they want to run the church when the church is the business of Christ by his Holy Ghost. And if there's no moving of the Holy Ghost in your church, then your church is really not a church. It's just a club. There's got to be a moving of the Holy Ghost. You understand? Now, I have seven things that I want to give you that will describe for you these leaders of a one-world religion. Now, you need to hear this, and these are available. They'll be in an article I'm giving you today called A Religion Satan Loves. A Religion That Satan Loves. I said A Religion That Satan Loves. Satan loves the one world religion. I'm telling you, the devil thinks that's got to be the grandest thing that's happened, and he's behind it. He's the source of it. You understand? Any one world religion that blends all the religions of the world together. Oh, you don't really blend them together. You just put on a facade of it. It's the work of Satan. You've got to understand that, friend. It's the work of Satan. And you've got to get busy and get yourself out of some dead church where there's no life in the altar. And let me give you the seven marks of this one world religious leader, this one world church leader. When I say one world leader, I'm talking about the religious part of it. There is other aspects like a political system. There's an economic system. And then there's a religious system. And I'm talking about the religious one world system. Dark as hell. Number one, the church is absolutely in the total control of false prophets and false preachers. And these dark black horses of the one world religion. And they're everywhere. And so this false church is controlled by these leaders, like the Methodists, bringing Muslim theology or ideas, it would be better, not really a theology, bringing them into their church and blending them together for their people. And a lot of Methodist people are fighting back. And I was thrilled to see how they were fighting back. Number two, the Holy Ghost is practically unknown in this new church. In fact, almost totally unknown is the moving and person of the Holy Ghost. You got to understand, the Holy Ghost is a person. The Holy Ghost is not some being that floats around in the midair. He's not some imagination. He's a real being. He is the third member of the divine Godhead. And his power is as real as heaven is real. And when he manifests his presence to you, you will know it. So the Holy Ghost is practically unknown in this one world religion. The church worship is completely controlled by people, by the individuals. They don't want the moving of the Holy Ghost. That they got to step back and let God do something. No, they're in control. It's a church of mob rule. A church of mob rule. And then this movement is, I make sure I say the right, there's no powerful altar. That's what I'm trying to get to here. Forgive me. There's no powerful altar in this one world religious church. No, the altar is a place of power. The altar is a place of redemption, of cleansing, of purification, sanctification, a place of comfort, a place where the sick get healed. Yes, we anoint with oil right at our altar and pray for the sick, and they do get healed, by the way. They do get healed. Oh, I'm here to tell you that this power is real at God's altar. But the one world religion has no desire for a powerful altar where the presence and the power of God is manifest. And there is absolutely no discernment in this new one world religion. No discernment. Everything goes. Everything's okay. Anybody that's religious is part of the crowd. People come in that live together outside of marriage, and they become choir members and Sunday school teachers without being told, no. You can't serve Christ if you're living outside of the sacredness of wedlock. You know, that's isn't it horrible to think that a church world now accepts people without being married as just regular members living together outside the sanctity of the married vows? Well, God's not involved in that. I can tell you that for sure. And this new church world no longer believes in absolutes. An absolute Bible is a problem to this new church world, this one world religion. This book is absolute. Do you understand that? This book is perfect. This book is pure. This book is absolutely pure. Every word in this book is what you and I must answer for on that awesome day of judgment. And if we don't live by this book, we don't go in that rapture. If we don't live by this book, we cannot go in a rapture. If we don't live by this book, we cannot go in the rapture. Man, must live by every word of God. That Jesus said that plainly, that we're to live by every word of God, not by bread alone, but by every word of the Lord. And then there is just no discernment in this new world religion. No discernment. I said that a while ago, but this is one of the points I want to make sure you keep and write down. There is no discernment. And last of all, the music. The music of this one world religion is a music that is soulical rather than spiritual. It has very little, if any, theological underpinning. We read from the Redback hymnal that has been popular in Bible-believing churches for many years. I really don't know how long. We were singing from it when I got saved in 1952. And that book is so full of theology, you could no more sing those songs in the new world, one world religion, because it don't fit. It's biblical. It's full of the rapture. It's full of heaven. It's full of hell. It's full of the truth of redemption, the power of the blood, the grace of God to change you and make a new creature out of you, the great truth of growing in the Lord and becoming spiritual as a person. Well, those seven wonderful truths, and I will have them written down now for you in this free gift today, this wonderful little book on the religious system that Satan loves. I'll have those seven identifications of one world religious leaders. Seven identifications of one world religious leaders, so that none of you have to be fooled by some young guy who comes in out of the university or some seminary, and he begins to preach strange doctrines, and he wants to introduce you to the NIV Bible or to some of those new versions that are just terrible. They're not really versions of the Bible. They're really commentaries of the people who put them together. And I'm here to tell you the absolute of the Bible is the foundation of it. You can always tell when something is going wrong when the preacher starts leading you and suggesting to you, let's get these easier to understand Bibles. You know why you need a Bible easier to understand? Because you haven't been redeemed by the blood. You haven't been made a new creature in Christ. You haven't been born again. You don't have a spiritual mind. You don't think with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You only think with your educated learning. And if you just study the Bible with your educated learning, with no influence and no discernment of the Holy Ghost, I would understand why you need a newer Bible that speaks in the simple English of this broken vernacular that we call English today. My dear friends, let me tell you that the Bible is understood by Spirit-filled men and women. by Holy Ghost-filled men and women. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want to name for you some dark horses. I'm not judging them. I'm not putting these people down. I'm only dealing with theology. I'm only dealing with truth. These may be as good a men as there are in America. They may be as faithful in the things they believe as I am. They may be as dedicated to their wife and children as I am. I'm not dealing with them. I'm not putting the people down. I'm dealing only with the Bible, only with theology, only with the truth of the Bible. Here's a list. Benny Hinn, one of the big names in this one world religion. One of the big names. Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner. Oh, there's no name bigger in the one world religion than Rick Joyner. He is really a big name, and his writings are demonic. If you like his writings, you certainly do not know anything about discernment. The first time I heard him speak, I said immediately, that's a false prophet. That's a false prophet. The Holy Ghost in me discerned the very moment I heard him that he was a false prophet. And then Rick Warren. Oh, Rick Warren has done the damage to the Baptist churches that Benny Hinn did to the Pentecostal churches. They really are on the same links. They're doing the same things. Then Kenneth Copeland. And then, of course, the new Pope is one of the worst of the New World Order, New World Religion leaders. One of the worst of the New World religious leaders. And then Bill Hybar, Pat Robinson, Jim Baker, Paul Crouch. Now, those are the key ones that I think of as American men. American men. And there are women who are in the same camp. And I won't go to all of that list because the list is huge. You could go on and on naming the people who are into this one world religion, who want everybody to kind of get together and blend it together. Well, you know, there are some exceptions. And some of these may have some doctrines that are exceptional. And some of these may have repented and come back to the Bible. I don't know. I can't keep up with all of them and what's happening to them. Some are dead now, like Peter Wagner and Kenneth Hagin and others. They're no longer here, but they were black horses of the one world religion when they were here. And then I mentioned Andy Stanley, and I think about the Methodist Church, and I think about the many that are going after the and saying it's okay to be a homosexual, that you can be a Christian and also live in the homosexual lifestyle. I mean, you've got so much out there that I'm overwhelmed with it. And so I'm here to warn you. I'm here to warn you. Get in your book of Revelation. Now, let me tell you again. The Revelation 13 is the picture of the Antichrist and the anti-Holy Spirit. The false Christ, the second member of the false Trinity, and the false prophet who's the third member of the false Trinity. And that's an unholy Christ and an unholy Spirit. And they are taking over the church world. And most of you know this. You go to your church and you say something's wrong. You know, you see so little and hear so little of old-fashioned Bible doctrines. How long has it been since you heard a full sermon from the book of Revelation showing you the beauty of the soon coming of Christ to rapture the church before the tribulation period? How long has it been? How long has it been? Now, I've given you a lot of things to think about. Now, I'm opening the lines to you. I'm going to put the phone number up again for you because I want you to call me immediately. I want to spend every moment now, the rest of this time, I want to spend it talking to you and answering your questions. Last week was incredible. Last week was incredible. Now, let me kind of put it together as you call right now. Grab your phone and call. Let me put together what I'm saying to you. I'm saying that you can tell the difference between a Laodicean church, which is the church of mob rule, the last of the seven that will go into the tribulation period, and the Philadelphia church, which is the church of revival that the church world was in for, 200 years or plus, and now we're at the conclusion of it. We've got the Philadelphia church about to go up in the rapture, and we've got the Laodicean church about to go into the tribulation period. Which one are you part of? Are you part of the Philadelphia church, where there is an on-fire altar, where the Holy Spirit is visiting the church, where there's revival and souls are being saved, that believes in an absolute Bible, that believes in the pre-trib return of Jesus Christ for the saints, who's pro-Israel? The real Philadelphia church is pro-Israel, friend. If your church is not pro-Israel, you need to get out of it fast because nothing is more judgment pending than those who turn against the family of Jesus Christ, the Jewish people. Now, the Laodicean church is the church of mob rule. It's the church that's lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. You know what he says to that church? I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, I'm here to tell you, you can prove by the Bible that every person who has become a Laodicean person will miss the rapture and will not go up to meet Jesus when he comes. And you'll be left here for the tribulation period. Now, I hope I warn you. You say you scare me. I hope I do. You say, Brother Chambers, you wouldn't want to scare me, would you? Well, only if it profited you in turning to Christ with all of your heart. Only if it profits you. Now, I hope you'll get your phone and join me now. We're going to take calls, and I want to hear from you, and you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, Mr. Chambers, when you talk about the rapture, are you referring to the resurrection?
I'm referring to the resurrection of the dead saints and the rapture of the living saints, which takes place simultaneously. The dead saints that are ready for the rapture will be raised out of their graves, and the living saints who are serving Christ and on fire for God but are living will be raptured and transformed and changed according to 1 Corinthians 15, and together will meet the Lord in the air.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's just going to be one resurrection.
Well, there's going to be a resurrection during the tribulation period of the tribulation saints. You'll find that in Revelation 7. There's going to be a resurrection of the dead, the wicked dead, at the white throne judgment. That's over in Revelation 20. And so all of this is clearly in the Bible. There's no doubt about it. It's as clear as the nose on your face.
So you're saying there's more than one resurrection?
I'm saying that there will be times when people are raised from the dead different from one another. I don't call it different resurrections. I call it God's divine order. And the saints that are ready for the rapture will go up first. And then the tribulation saints will go up in the middle of the 7 years. And then those saved at the last 3.5 years will be resurrected at the end of the 7 years. And then there'll be a wicked resurrection for the wicked at the white throne judgment. All of that is clearly in the book of Revelation. If you'll go read the book,
Amen.
Read it verse by verse, you'll see that clearly.
Hey, may I speak, sir? In Matthew 24, the Lord said that he was going to resurrect the whole church after the tribulation period.
No, sir, he didn't say any such thing.
Interrupting me, sir.
Hey, listen, you got to listen to me. I'm the teacher.
24.
I'm the teacher, and you're listening, okay?
All right.
All right, we'll go on. Hey, give us a call at 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. My heart aches for these dear people who have been so brainwashed. They really have been brainwashed. The devil is in the brainwashing business. And he'll so brainwash you that nothing can convince you that there's going to be a rapture of the saints before the 7-year tribulation period. I mean, the Bible is so full of that, it's always overwhelming to me. Let me read this to you. This is wonderful. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, you hear this. You got to listen. You can't afford to miss it. And I hope that dear man is still listening. He called last week, and same argument. Listen to me. Because thou has kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from. Can I yell that? From. I want to say that again. From the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. Which shall come upon all the world. I will keep you from it, because you kept the word of my patience. Could you believe a promise any more wonderful than that? And it's in the last book of the Bible. It's in the final chapter that Jesus gave us to give us absolute proof. Now grab your phones. I want to hear from you. I really do want to hear from you. You are important to me, and I'm here to be a blessing to you. And I answer people with all of my heart, but I'm very plain. I hope you... Oh, let me get here. Let me get that line. Here we go. It's such a joy to talk to you. Well, that's supposed to be open to me, line 2. Let's see if they can put it back on, line 2. Get it back on for me. Line 2, you on the air. May I help you, please? May I help you, please? Well, are you there? Well, you're not there. Let's see here. May I help you, please?
Yes. I had a Christian brother. He's almost 100 years old. He's given out tracts and witnessed to people over the years. And he told me, he said, you know, I figured out what's wrong with our churches now. He said, you know, Jesus is the bread of life. And he said, bread has salt in it.
Yeah.
But he says, these churches are giving out sweet rolls, and it's just full of sugar, and there ain't no salt in it. He said, that's what's wrong with the churches. They've exchanged the bread of life for sweet rolls.
Yeah, sweet daddy.
Yeah.
Sweet daddy. You know, they call him daddy. They call him all kinds of names that limits him. Like the NIV Bible changes the great master to teacher. Change the word master to teacher. Because they want to reduce him. They did that, I think, 37 times in the NIV. We're talking about a reduction. I wrote it like this. Let me read it to you. This is in the article I'm sending to everybody. The unthinkable is at hand. God has become the final toy of the world's religious leaders. His name is no longer important. The only important thing is unity. To them, the only unpardonable sin is to believe that the Bible is the infallible word, and the only God to hate or reject is the God of the Bible. That was the beginning paragraph of this new article I'm giving today, and God is just a toy today. They play with him like playing with a baby doll.
Yeah, and I met a man years ago that came out of one of the great religious institutions of the world. And he was exposed to information the average person would never even dream of. He said this institution had spent $2 billion, B as in baby, dollars since over the last century in flooding the market with Bible versions other than the King James in the English language. And it finally hit me.
Were that the Gideons?
No.
Well, the Gideons, you know, I used to bring them every year and take a big offering for them. And when they left the King James Bible and went to the new ones, I said, no more. You're not coming in this church until you go back to the King James Bible.
Oh, do they not even offer it anymore?
I can't answer. I think they probably do, but they offer it as one of their Bibles, not the only one. And I'm not interested in that.
Okay. Well, no. I'm talking about centuries ago. You'll know what I'm talking about. The greatest religious institution in the world.
Okay.
This man came out of that, and I was listening to a gentleman a few weeks ago on the radio, and he was talking about at the very beginning, when they printed the first English Bibles, the king and the church were burning people at the stake to get them. Well, now they've got something even more effective. They've just flooded their market with phony Bibles all over the place. That's even better than going after somebody that buys the King James Version.
Well, you're right, and that's what they've done. I used to wonder, how in the world will they teach people all of these new doctrines and flood the church with them? And I didn't know the answer was new Bibles. When you get into any of these Bibles that I've picked up, other than the King James, you've just got so many errors and so many mistakes and so many new translations. They're really not translations. They're transliterations. They transliterate to please their thinking. Whatever their theological bent is, that's what comes out of the Bible. The NIV is a postmillennial Bible. There's great people who already know that. The pre-trib group that I'm part of, that Tim LaHaye started, that was a firm belief among them that the NIV was a post-millennial Bible to get people away from the pre-trib rapture. No doctrine is hated in the church world like the pre-trib rapture.
I just discovered, and I mailed yesterday to California for a video involving one of the head, a pastor of the Moody Bible Church. He died in 87, and before he died, and I'm dying to get this video because I've already seen a preview of it. He confesses his sin that he had been a participant in the NASB Bible.
I remember that gentleman, and I have read his testimony.
And he said it took him four months to make the decision to come clean, but he openly came out and he says, I had made a terrible mistake.
He openly came out and repented. And that Bible wasn't anything half as bad as the NIV.
Exactly, exactly.
It was just a simple leaving of the original manuscripts and go into the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. Those two manuscripts, Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus, and everybody out there listening to me now, hear those two words, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Those two manuscripts came out of the Catholic movement, out of the Catholic background, and they are the background of all the new Bibles, except the King James.
But you got, most people will not, they're so lazy and impatient, they will, and they're uninformed, they don't know anything about the history of all of this stuff, and they're absolutely, they'll get into a fist fight with you over this because they're just too lazy to dig down and find out the truth and the facts of it.
Well, I have spent many hours over many years, and I've always been a man that knew I had to give account to God at the end of my walk. And I've got to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That is the passion of my heart here at 80 years old, to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And my devotion to the Bible, my devotion to a pure Bible, to an infallible Bible. The name King James has never been the emphasis of my heart. The emphasis of my heart is the manuscripts behind the King James. I am not a King James only. I am a Textus Receptus only. A Textus Receptus only. That's all I've ever been. I've never been the King James only. I've been a Textus Receptus only, because that's the manuscript that lay behind the King James Bible. Does that make sense to you?
Sir, and all of those original autographs agree with one another.
Yes, I think it's 97% of everything in the Bible comes from those manuscripts, and anybody that will study and be dedicated to it can learn this as well, probably better than I, because I'm not as educated as many people out there. My education is mainly out of, when I got saved, I couldn't even read. I had to learn to read when I got saved. I was a high school dropout. But I learned to read with the King James Bible. Now, if a 16-year-old kid can learn to read with the King James Bible, don't tell me it isn't a good Bible.
Well, I back everything that you do and say completely. And a lot of people think that people like you and me are nutty kooks because they haven't gotten into it. They're being manipulated and don't even know it.
Let me tell you something. Now, let me talk in faith a minute, okay? I believe that God is going to defend the credibility of men like Joe Chambers and you and others, and there's many others out there. There's many preachers that are unknown. They pastor little churches, or they pastor maybe some pretty good-sized church, but they don't get involved in this, national argument, this worldwide discussion. I believe God's going to defend us, and I believe our Holy Ghost revival is on in the making. I am looking for the Spirit of God to move in such a manner that sinners going down the highway will feel the conviction and be looking for a place to go where there's a real Bible-believing person to pray through. I believe revival is coming. And I say to anybody out there, if you're into one of these compromised churches, why don't you do something about it and quit putting your money in such a thing and get ready for a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost? I believe there's going to be a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost, and I want to stay here as long as Jesus allows me. If the rapture doesn't take place, when that rapture takes place, I'm gone. But if the rapture doesn't take place in my lifetime, I want to stay here until I can see that revival come.
You told me something. I'm getting ready to get off the phone, but you told me something I didn't know. I didn't know that Charles Stanley's grandfather was a Pentecostal preacher.
Oh, Charles Stanley was raised in a Pentecostal church. And he said in his own book that he started going to the Baptist because there was more pretty girls over there than there were at the Pentecostal church where he went to. And he went to college, and for about 2 years, something like that, and this could be a little variable, he argued for and against the eternal security doctrine. And one day he saw the light.
Yeah.
One day the devil showed him the light, you know.
I was very disappointed in him in the early 90s when he preached a sermon saying that you had nothing to fear from the New World Order. That did it for me.
Well, I don't call him a part of the one world religion, but he may be. I'll leave that to everybody else. And I'm not here to put down nobody. I love God's people, and I pray for Benny Hinn to repent. I pray for Pat Robertson to repent before he dies. I pray for all of these preachers that have led this one world religion. They are in trouble when they face God. And I pray for them to repent before they face God.
Well, I think they're like the folks in Hollywood. They're just not looking very far down the road.
Well, see, you know, Donald Trump has promised to clean out the swamp in Washington. And he's really working on it. You know that? Donald Trump's working on cleaning out the swamp in Washington.
Yes, sir.
But I want to tell you something else. The church needs to clean out the swamp.
Yeah.
The church needs to clean out the swamp. We need to put these people, back in their little brackets that are teaching this one world religion. That we ought to join up with the Catholics, and we ought to join up with the Muslims, and we ought to join up with all the religions of the world. That is such false. It is. The devil loves it.
Yes, he does.
I love you. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, call us quickly. I want to hear from you. Every one of you out there. Now, you have a question. Don't you sit there and not answer me or not ask me. Don't sit there and not call me. And I apologize for the people almost every week. If I say anything that suggests the pre-trib rapture, they've got to call me, and they try to use Matthew 24. I sent the booklet of that to one man last week to try to show him, but they're not going to listen. I mean, they are just convinced, and they don't want to hear it, and they don't want to change because there's a stronghold that's got up here in their brain and got a hold of them. Now, I want to tell you, I'm preaching in the morning. I want you to hear what I'm preaching in the morning. I wrote it down here somewhere if I can find it. I want you to hear it because I really believe backsliders is almost over. Backsliders is almost over. You don't have much time. If you backslid from the old path, you backslid from a Holy Ghost-filled life, you backslid from a life of purity and holiness and godliness. Oh, I remember when the Methodists were godly. I remember when the Baptists was godly. I remember when the Pentecostals was godly. And now, anybody that preaches against the world is called, a Pharisee. You're not a Pharisee because you preach what the Bible says. You're only a Pharisee if you take things that are not in the Bible and try to preach them. And I don't preach nothing but what's in this book. But I'm going to do my best to preach everything that is in this book. Now, you need to grab that phone because I want your question. I want to answer it. I want to help you. I want to be your friend. And if you'll let me, we'll be kind to one another. If you bullhead it, you aren't going to let me answer your question. You're determined to do your own, your own teaching. Then I'll stop you, as I did the man earlier. I wanted to talk to him, but he wasn't going to let me. He had to be the one to try to get the message out there to you that I was all wet and wrong. And I just don't let people do that. They don't pay the bill, and I don't let them, deliver the mail. It's me, my responsibility to deliver the mail. Now, I call on you to get ready to meet God. I call on you to understand a one-world religion is taking over the church in America, literally taking over the church in America. I remember the day when Pentecostal churches was on fire. I was a Pentecostal in a Pentecostal denomination for over 40 years. I'm still a Pentecostal, but I was in a denomination for over 40 years, and I loved it. I loved everybody in it. I mean, I really did. I was I was an encore supporter. I was a dedicated part of it. I loved it. But when they left the straight and narrow, when they left the King James Bible, when they began to put these new versions in the Sunday school literature, I said, no. When they began to promote Benny Hinn and Pat Robertson and these guys, Kenneth Copeland, I said, no. I'm not going to be part of that. I'm not going to be part of that. Got a call one day from the publishing house, one of Benny Hinn books that they were promoting that month. I said, wait a minute, lady. You're calling me from the headquarters of my church, and you're trying to tell me about a book by Benny Hinn and expect me to buy it when he's a false prophet to the core? Oh, man, I mean, it broke my heart. It broke my heart. I knew then I had no choice but to go in a direction that wasn't going that direction. Hey, you on the air. May I help you?
Yeah, how are you? You had two quick questions. I think it was Matthew 25:31.
Yes.
It says Christ returns with the holy angels. Now, I thought when Christ comes back, he comes back with the saints.
Yeah, he comes back with the angels first. The rapture, he'll have angels. When he comes back at the end of the 7 years for the great battle of Armageddon, then he has the saints.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's what I was kind of confused. Yeah.
You see, the Bible, all through the Bible, are prophetic statements. Many of them. Matthew 24 was one of the great ones. Matthew 25 is another one. All of these are partial. They give you pictures of parts of the prophetic scripture. The book of Revelation takes all of those parts and blends them together and gives us a chronological order for their fulfillment. And if people would just understand that, Matthew 25, Matthew 24, many other books of the Bible, Luke 21, you know, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Titus, you know, book after book gives all kinds of partials of the end times. The book of Psalms, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Zechariah, the book of Daniel, the book of Malachi. All of these are great books, and they give you parts of the prophetic picture. But Revelation takes every part of the prophetic picture and blends it together in a chronological order so that you can follow it precisely. And so everybody ought to study the book of Revelation to pull all of these other books together and give you a final picture.
Okay, as far as how does Ezekiel, does that coincide with Revelation?
What now?
Oh, Ezekiel, isn't that?
Oh, yes. Ezekiel is wonderful. Ezekiel is intimately. Now, you got to keep all that in order. And some of those books talk about things that Revelation does not mention. Revelation does not talk about that main war of Gog and Magog, because that actually occurs before the end of the church age, or right at the time of the rapture, before or after one or the other.
Right, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, it's a joy. I love my callers, and to bless you is my delight, okay? God bless you, dear lady. Now, the lines are open. I've got 12, 13 minutes. And I want to answer your question. Hey, listen, I'm pointing my finger at you. I want to answer your question. I love you. If you're into these false doctrines, are you into this one world religion? Are you part of a church that's into this one world religion? Your altar is no longer a place of Holy Ghost fire. Your singing is no longer the singing of the old songs of Zion, full of the Bible, full of the honor of God, full of the truths of the scripture. If your church is one of those, there's no more moving of the Holy Ghost in the congregation. The preacher and the minister of music and his elders are in charge of everything, and God's kind of pushed over to the side. No move of the Holy Ghost. You know, if you're one of the churches that the altar is no longer on fire, you don't see anybody getting saved and really getting saved. I don't mean cutting me down shaking the preacher's hand. You can shake the preacher's hand till his elbow scrunches. You can be baptized in every pool of water till the bullfrogs call you brother. But you're not going to be saved till you repent of your sins and weep your way to Calvary. And that's what is missing in most churches today. And if you're in a church that don't have that, I'd be looking for me one. Okay? Are you listening? Ah, yeah, you're listening. Call me, 1-800-338-7884. And I'm preaching tomorrow on Backslider, Come Home. It's almost over. Backslider, come home. It's almost, I'm talking to somebody right now. Backslider, you know you're away from God. You know you're so cold and indifferent that you wouldn't know if the Holy Spirit moved on you. You know that you've been away from church, in and out. You've been loving the world. You've been running after the pleasure of the world. There's no fire of the Holy Ghost moving in your heart. You haven't prayed in a long time until you felt the joy of the Holy Ghost just come down upon you. You know you're backslid. Don't tell me you're not. You know if you're backslid. And I'm telling you, you don't have much time left. I'm telling you, you don't have much time left. And I weep with that. My heart breaks to think of the multitudes out there who used to be on fire for God, used to be in the middle of an on-fire church, who used to see people run to the altars to get saved, who used to see great movements of the Holy Spirit until everybody just worshiped and praised God. This past Sunday night, we got to worshiping. I'm here to tell you, the glory filled the house, And everybody just took a while and we worshiped. Some were clapping their hands. Some were had their hands in the air rejoicing. Some were, I think there's some dancing a little bit in the aisle somewhere. I don't know what all happened. I was having such a good time. I wasn't watching nobody else. And it was just beautiful. A visit of the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to emphasize that. A time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. How long since you've had one of those times? If you haven't had one of those within a recent period, you are either partially backslid or totally backslid. And if Jesus would come, I am almost sure you're probably not ready to go. We'll let the Lord decide that. He's the one going to rapture you or leave you. But I'm here to tell you, if you haven't had a time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord, you're already in trouble. And I wouldn't let tomorrow pass and without going to a church and just believing God to give me a time of refreshing. A time of refreshing. What a joy. What a joy. Well, it's wonderful to know the Lord and you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. My name is Billy. I've got a question concerning Genesis chapter 11, verse 6.
Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. Read it right quick.
The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do would be impossible for them.
See, that was at the Tower of Babel. They all could speak one language, and they were building a tower to establish for themselves a new religion. They wanted to build a tower and get a hold of God. But it was not the true God, and he wasn't behind it. So God moved upon the Tower of Babel crowd, and he completely eliminated every language that every one of them spoke and gave them a totally new language. A totally new language. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. He eliminated every language that the one language. Boy, I had backed it up. He eliminated the one language that they spoke before at the time of Babel and gave a multiplicity of languages. So the different people from different backgrounds suddenly were speaking different languages and they couldn't understand one another, so they had to quit building the Tower of Babel. Now, could I tell you something? I was reading recently the story of a woman who was deep into anthropology. If you understand what anthropology is, it's the study of people and cultures and societies. And she was involved in studying the old language of Sumer. Now, Sumer was southern Iraq where the Tower of Babel was built. I've been and saw the place at a distance where the Tower of Babel was. I've been there. And that was the place where Adam and Eve had lived and had been placed by God. And the language they spoke was Sumer, the language of the Sumer, of the Sumerians, I'm not sure I should say Sumerians, the language of the Sumerians. I'm not sure I'm saying that right either. But anyhow, that language disappeared. Well, they found all of these manuscripts and these clay tablets with these languages, and they've been trying to interpret them. And here's what they discovered, that there was no language on the face of the earth that had any kinship to this language the Sumerians spoke before the Tower of Babel. And they didn't mention the Tower of Babel. They just simply said somewhere about 400 years before the flood, somewhere about the time of the flood, that suddenly that one language just disappeared and all of these other languages appeared and there's no kinship and they can't figure out what happened. And I said, all you need to do is read the Bible.
Well, yes, sir.
Did I answer your question?
Well, my question is that God stopped the building of the Tower of Babel, which was technology back then, but he's not stopping it now.
Oh, well, he will, sir. Hey, don't say he's not stopping it. Say he hasn't yet stopped it.
Okay. Appreciate it.
See, that's all I need to say. God stopped then. God stopped the crowd at Sodom and Gomorrah. God stopped every great crowd that's ever tried to completely eliminate God from their thinking. God has always stopped them, and he always will, and we're just waiting right now for that to happen.
Appreciate it.
God bless you.
Bye.
Thank you, sir, for calling. Now, I want to hear from you. I would like to answer any question out there. And boy, has these been good questions. I'm amazed at them. I really am. everything we've talked. I even like the first caller who wants to prove to everybody, Matthew 24, that means the rapture is one event. But he's eliminating all these scriptures in the Bible, and he's not taking them in proper order. And he's not taking the book of Revelation as the final picture. Oh, I wish I could help people. You know, God has been so good to me. I've studied this Bible since I was 1952 when I got saved. 1952 when I got saved, 16-year-old country boy. All I knew how to do was play old Pete and tear up Daddy's tractor. But I found Christ. No. I didn't find Christ. Christ found me and saved me. And I started reading. And I've been reading ever since. My eyes are getting dim because I've read like a crazy man. But I've loved it. And I've studied it, and I believe this Bible is infallible, and it will answer your needs. I promise you now. I know time's going out on me. Maybe I'll have one more call. Call quickly. Remember, I haven't mentioned this. I'm giving this booklet. I mean, the name of it is Satan Loves the One World Religion. Satan loves the one world religion. The religious system Satan loves, whatever you want to call it. All of that's part of the title. I mean, it's one that the devil loves it. I'll give you those 7 points. And I'm going to name all of those people whom I call the black soldiers. Not black now in the sense of color. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the black horses, I call them. The black horses of the one world religion. These are many men who have been sponsors of it. It'll be in the booklet. It'll be in the booklet. So you call now and keep calling as long as you want a copy of that. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. And you can send me an email. JRC@paulcreek.org. JRC@paulcreek.org. And I didn't even go to my email today. Will you forgive me? Sometimes I just plain forget that. Let's see here if I've got anybody there that's waiting with a question on the email. I don't want to miss up nothing here. I'm trying to see. I got to put these things on hold. Well, I got a bunch of them there. I got a bunch of them, pre-trib rapture. My family used to listen to you and believe in the pre-trib rapture, but now have adopted the post-trib pre-wrath rapture theory and say Christ can't come at any moment. Can't come at any moment. Can you believe that? Sir, God bless you. I love you. I'm sorry your family has lost the way. I'm sorry somebody has led them in the wrong doctrines. I really am. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I got another question here. I don't have time to read them. I've got a bunch of them. Will you forgive me out there? I'm going to save them till next week. I'm going to save them till next week. Is that okay? God bless your heart. I will have them for you next week. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Brother Chambers.
Hey.
You're talking about some of the pastors are getting away from the truth. I've got two or three for you. What about David Jeremiah?
I know nothing about him.
How about John Hagee?
I don't know. I can't answer. Do they still preach the pre-trib rapture?
Well, I don't know. They are television preachers. I don't listen to them that much.
Well, I don't either. I don't have time. So I'm not, as I said earlier, I'm not putting down anybody. I tried to name some of the black horses, some of the big names like Benny Hinn, like Robinson, Pat Robinson. I mean, these are big names that had an incredible impact on the one world religion. Remember Benny Hinn went over when the Pope, not the last one, but the one before that died and did his television right out of the Vatican.
What about Jimmy Swaggart? Is he...
I can answer that. I do not put down any of them. I gave you a few names. I don't go any further. And I'm telling you that the pre-trib rapture, on fire altar, a godly life, the infallible scripture, those are the things that make the decision on what a man is worth or what he isn't worth.
I understand that, but you know, most of your big churches have gotten away from the truth. The little churches is where you get to go to get the truth.
Mostly, you are right. Mostly. Not. I don't know that there aren't some big churches that preach the truth. I can't answer that, but I can tell you there's a lot of little churches that still preach the truth.
You keep doing what you're doing, Brother Chambers.
I don't know nothing else. Ain't going in no other direction. I love the truth of God's word. God bless you, brother. Thank you for calling, Brother Chambers. You know, it's such a joy to bring you the good things I bring you to the best of my ability. Now, I got to go. I want you in church tomorrow. Backslider, it's time for you to come home. You don't have much longer. Listen to me, backslider. It's time for you to come home. You don't have much longer. Are you listening to me? Backslider, it's time for you to come home. Backslider, woo! I call out to you. Come home. I'm not talking about this church particular. Oh, I'd love to have you. But get back in a Bible-believing church. Get your heart right with God. And if you haven't had a time of refreshing, I think that's the best thing the Holy Ghost said through me today. If you haven't had a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, you need it. And if you don't have it over a long period of time, you'll lose your fire. And the Bible said, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now, you call for this booklet, 1-800-338-7884. That's 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 391-0588. Now, my friend, I'm telling you, Jesus is coming at any minute. And if you're not ready to go, I want you to get ready. I love you. Keep calling me. Love to have you tomorrow. I'll treat you nothing but good. I promise you. Nothing but good.
When the time comes and I'm standing at the river, the girls that I love, torn between my precious friends and my family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side, and when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate. Heaven's throne, with the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my final fleeting breath and fade into